series today, looking at the kingdom of God. And I'm challenged by the whole subject, the whole concept of the kingdom of God, because it's, in the end, it's to be experienced, it's to be received, and it's not just to be understood. And so I'm going to probably not teach for so long, that's the intention today, but I just want to give more space, more time for us to experience, hopefully, the kingdom in our lives together. So, Nikki, I don't know if we could just have one of those slides on, like number 4 or 5, probably, from last week. We've just been looking at this over the last couple of weeks. Next one, maybe. We've explained something of the mystery, or been trying to explain something of the mystery of the kingdom of God. It came with Jesus. Jesus said the kingdom's here. We're going to read that verse in a moment or two. We're going to see that this kingdom will come with Jesus. Back a bit, is it? I don't know which way. Maybe forward a bit. And again. One before. Oh, we'll leave it on that other one. That's okay. Leave it on that other one. That's okay. The one with the last one. Oh, well, leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Okay. So we saw there with the coming of Jesus Christ, he said the kingdom has come. But we also began to understand that the kingdom in all its fullness is still to come. That dimension of God, where there's no more sickness, there's no more sin, there's no more evil at all, that dimension in its fullness is still to come. No pain, no sadness, no death. But until that time, we're living in this section there, which I called the clash of the kingdoms, where we have this rule of darkness, this rule of Satan. The Bible tells us that the whole world is under the is under the influence of the evil one. We're living it. Paul calls it this present evil age. That's the age in which we live. And yet, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're called to bring in light into darkness, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and it causes that clash. Okay, so we are here to bring in more of the kingdom of God. In Hebrews, it talks about tasting of the powers of the age to come. So we're tasting of that kingdom which is to come and bringing it in to this present evil age. If you remember, Jesus said, on the cross, I finished my work. Before he was on the cross, he actually said, and it's good that I am going to heaven, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And for the next few minutes, I want us to just begin to see the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit with regard to the kingdom of God. He said, it's good that I'm going. The disciples didn't feel that at all. He was their savior. He was their deliverer. He was their Messiah. They couldn't imagine life without him. But he said, it's good that I go, because if I go, the Spirit of God will come. And he's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. Hallelujah. And so we're called to preach this gospel, empowered by the Spirit of God. And just with that slide, we'll move on from that or in a moment or two. You know, I'm expecting to see more of God breaking through into this present evil age until we get to that time when Jesus returns in all his glory and brings it in its fullness. So the kingdom came with Jesus, the kingdom is to come in its fullness, and right now the church is called to bring more and more and more of that age to come, that kingdom, into this present evil age. Okay, thank you, Nikki. We'll have some scriptures in a moment or two. You see, the church is called to preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, is a kingdom with signs and wonders. It's a kingdom which is to be experienced. The emphasis which we so often bring, and it's a really right emphasis, is all part of the same gospel on repenting that we might receive eternal life and salvation, is such an important aspect of what we're talking about. because that's where it starts. Unless we can come to that place of being born again, unless we know what it is to have our sins forgiven and that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, Jesus said, you'll never see, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So that is such an important part, and it might be that some are here today that have not come through to that experience. And the bad news is, for the next quarter of an hour, you probably won't understand what I'm talking about then. Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter and you cannot see the kingdom of God. But each one of us right now can just give our lives to the Lord. And we can say, Lord, I need a saviour. I need a deliverer. I'm a sinner. And we can know and experience that salvation which God wants to bring us. So the emphasis on salvation and grace, and we'll have opportunity for people to respond to that at the end, is a really important emphasis. It gets us to heaven. But the emphasis on the kingdom of God brings heaven to earth. Do you understand? One gets us to heaven, the other one brings heaven down to earth. And it's that emphasis which I'm talking about over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. But I realise it is so easy to talk. But the kingdom of God, Paul says, isn't talk, it's power. It's not words, it's power. Most churches today, certainly in our country, will be talking. And there'll be no power. And they'll be happy to talk next week and the week after and the week after. But Paul says, but the kingdom of God isn't talk, it's power. And so I'm risking something today. Either we're going to go home and have an early lunch, or we're going to give space for the Holy Spirit to come and demonstrate the kingdom among us in our worship and in prayer and in ministry towards the end. Because I don't want to just talk. I want to experience, and I want you to experience the power of God. And I don't want us just to experience power for a nice meeting here. I want us to experience power that we take that presence, we take that dimension of God from this place to our homes, to our workplaces, to the communities, to universities and schools. We take the power of God with us and bring in more of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Who's up for that risk today? Yeah? Let's risk it, eh? Amen. Amen. You see, the big challenge is, and I'm not being critical of other churches because we're the same, but the big challenge is that the more words, people come and say, Neville, I want more teaching. We need more teaching. You don't need more teaching. We need more of the power of God. You've got a Bible. We have teaching in every cell, well, we should have during the week. You've got notes that you can read yourselves, and we will teach on Sunday mornings. I'm not saying it's not important, but we don't need more teaching. The church is full of teaching. And the scripture says knowledge puffs us up. Knowledge makes us proud. All this knowledge that the church in the United Kingdom has got, but so little power, so little experience. And so hear me when I say we don't need more teaching, most of us. We need more of God to break through. And actually, teaching for the sake of teaching with no experience just makes you religious. It just makes you religious. Appropriate the teaching of the scriptures with an encounter of God which is going to change us from glory to glory and change our lives and make us different. Unless we can appropriate the Bible into our lives, we just get religious. But if we can work it through, we can have an impact in this town like we've never known before. Hallelujah. 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 So less talk and more of the kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 says this. 9 to 11, and then I'm going to read from verse 14 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus was coming up out of the water. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. You saw that on that first diagram up there. Jesus said, the kingdom's come. The time has come. The kingdom is at hand. It's near. It's available. It's within our reach. That's what he was proclaiming. But I want us to notice something. When did he proclaim? When did he make that declaration? He was 30 years old by now, and he had not made that declaration at all the rest of that time. It was after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, he was baptized, and that confused John and the others who recognized who he was. And to be honest, I don't really know why it was important for him to be baptized. It certainly wasn't for the same reasons that we need to be baptized, because he had no sins to wash away, nothing to deal with. It probably was to set an example for us to follow. And Jesus said, John, please baptize me. And as he came up out of that water, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus. Did Jesus need the Spirit of God to come upon him? I think he did. Jim does as well. But he was the Son of God, wasn't he? Yes, but the scripture says he emptied himself of all that deity, of all that godness. He emptied himself of that. And although he was 100% God and was divine and is divine, he actually lived this life as a human being. And what he did after being filled with the Holy Spirit came because he was dependent on the Spirit of God too. The Holy Spirit came upon him after that baptism, and he then began to declare, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. You know, that should encourage us. Jesus didn't heal the sick. Jesus didn't raise the dead. Jesus didn't cleanse the lepers. Jesus didn't cast out demons because he was God. He did all of that because the kingdom of God had come to him through the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because he was God, it was because he was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, that he was able to do all that he did. Hallelujah. Why should that encourage us? Because we're all in the same boat. Same Spirit on you to do the works of Jesus. That's it. We don't need to be God to do the works of Jesus, to bring the kingdom of God in. It's the same Spirit. And we'll look at some verses in a moment or two which promise that he is to come to fill us to continue the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke 4, verse 18. This is the kingdom manifesto, if you like. Jesus came from the desert, full of the Holy Spirit, we're told. And this is what he began to speak in the synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord isn't in me, he's on me. You see, the Spirit of God is in every Christian. But the Spirit of God needs to come upon us to do the works of Jesus. The Spirit of God is in each one of us who've given our lives to the Lord. But he needs to come upon us to do the works of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He was reading this from Isaiah. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What was the significance? This was the words of Isaiah about the Messiah. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, came and read those scriptures from Isaiah and said, today, this ministry is starting. This kingdom ministry is starting, because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Acts 10 verse 38 tells us this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You see, it was because the Holy Spirit was upon him that he went around doing everything. And I love the description, he went around doing good. And what did doing good mean in those days? It meant healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, bringing in the kingdom of God, good news to the poor, seeing people saved, seeing deception and lies replaced with truth. That's what doing good was. The church is here to do good. We think doing good is painting our neighbour's fence or doing some shopping or to be nice to our communities and our to be good like that. And that's all good too. But doing good from a biblical perspective is supernatural. It's supernatural. Doing good from a biblical perspective is doing what they can't do out there. But we have the supernatural, or we should have that supernatural power of God in us, enabling us to do good. I love that. What an understatement, to do good. Oh, I did a bit of good today. I just raised someone from the dead. You know, I mean, it's a different world, isn't it? And that's what that kingdom is. It's a different world. And we are called to bring that different world into us. Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. I'm challenged about me, challenged about us. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Is that all one of the same? Can you be anointed with the Holy Spirit and not have power? Sometimes I feel that about myself. I've experienced the Holy Spirit. I feel there's been an anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I say, Lord, where's the power? Where's the power of this kingdom? Jesus talked about being anointed with the Holy Spirit and fire. Can you receive the Holy Spirit and not the fire? Well, I don't really know. I think we need to receive the Spirit in its fullness, and we receive the fire and the power as well, as all part of the package. But I feel for myself, maybe, and some of us, we've settled for less. We've settled for less. You see, in Acts 1 verse 8, the disciples were, Jesus had promised them, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love that description. Immersed, overwhelmed, not just a little touch. Overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. And the disciples missed the importance of this. I said, yeah, but when are you going to come back? What about this? What about that? And, you know, sometimes too many people in the church today are worried all about the end times, and how it's all fitting together, and this, that, and the other. Jesus said, look, it's not for you to know all that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, God is more interested in now rather than our theories about later. We've got a job to do now. And the only way we can do that job is by receiving the power of God through the Holy Spirit. G12, we've talked about the vision for over the years. The only way we can complete and do the vision of G12, of going and making disciples, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we read it like this. But you will tingle when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Or there will be a flickering of your eyelashes when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Or you will tremble or fall over or shake or weep or laugh when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I've received the Spirit of God. I was on the floor for 5 minutes. But Jesus, all those are good. I'm for all of that lot. I'm not against any of that. More, Lord, more of all of that. But Jesus didn't promise tingling. Jesus didn't promise even trembling and falling over. Jesus promised power when the Holy Spirit comes. Power when the Spirit of God comes on. Do you know what that word means? That Greek word is dunamis. Dynamite. You will receive dynamite. Yes, but I'm quiet and I just like to be still and I just like that soft gentleness of the Spirit. Well, he's going to work through your personality, and if you're just soft and gentle, your dynamite will be soft and gentle too. But it's still going to be dynamite. is going to be power from on high. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem till you receive this power from on high, because he wanted the church to be witnesses. It's all part of the kingdom of God. This kingdom was not going to come without the Spirit of God working through the church powerfully. Dynamite. Dunamis means efficiency, ability, and might. That is what the promise is when the Holy Spirit comes. So if I'm to ask you guys, have you received the Holy Spirit? How many would you put your hands up? And if loads of you did, I would say, have you received power? How many will keep their hands up? I'm not going to ask you. It'd be a bit embarrassing. Well, it might be a bit embarrassing. But God wants to give us power through the Holy Spirit. It's not the same as a touch. Not the same as a manifestation, although it can start with that. But without power, we're never going to complete. That's what Jesus has given us to. And so later on today, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And my prayer is, he comes like he's never come before. In power. Transforming lives. Setting captives free. My prayer is that he comes, and when he comes, we will be different from what we were before. Not just for the sake of now, but that difference we will take out, and we will give away what he's given us. That's my prayer. That's my concern. That's my desire. Can't live without his power. We've settled for a form of church and no power. Most churches have settled for a form of church and no power. But the power of God is our inheritance. It's what was promised for the church. And when more power comes, people think, well, be careful of deception. I tell you, it's more deceived not to experience any power. You've got completely lost it if you think church is a form of godliness with no power. But it's the power of God which we need to be experiencing, to see the kingdom of God come more and more in our lives. There's many more scriptures and examples I could give, just wanting to us to see the importance of the Holy Spirit with regard to the kingdom of God. Just going to end with one more from Matthew 12, verse 28. And Jesus said this, he's having a bit of flack from the religious people and the Pharisees. They don't like the power. They don't like the stuff which he's doing. And they begin to accuse him. They say, you're doing this through the devil. And that's what actually some people say of the church today. It's all the devil at work among you. I'll tell you, I don't know what kingdom some of these people are serving. But this is what Jesus says. If I drive out demons, Matthew 12, verse 28, by the Spirit of God, then know this, that the kingdom of God has come. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then know this, that the kingdom of God has come upon you. A sign of the kingdom is the power of the Holy Spirit. A move of the Holy Spirit that brings us into an experience of the life of the kingdom, of joy, of peace, of love, of abundant life, is a good sign. It's a sign that the kingdom is coming among us. We should embrace that wholeheartedly. A move of the Spirit which begins to see people healed and set free from demonic stuff and addictions and stuff which others have been unable to deal with is a good sign. It's a sign not just that the Spirit is here, it's a sign of that, a sign the kingdom is here. That's what Jesus was saying. I was talking to somebody last week out in the foyer. How are you getting on? I was saying, well, I'm here every week, aren't I? I said, yeah, you're here every week. Yeah, that's good. And he said, do you know what? He said, I was just going down the corridor the other day, and he was struggling with hay fever. And he was describing somebody from the church who didn't know his name. He said, he just touched me and said something like, hay fever, go, and carried on walking down the corridor. He said, from that moment, I've not had any more hay fever. It just went like that. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you because he didn't feel able to come up here to say that. It's a sign of the kingdom. Sign of the kingdom. Kingdom of God come. The person that just touched him doesn't even know about this miracle yet. He's not around a lot of the time. No prayer, no falling on the floor, no nothing. Hay fever, go. Kingdom of God came. And that person's been set free. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of God It's why we've been given the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, helps us to worship, helps us to sense his presence. The Holy Spirit brings healing and deliverance and anointing. And we need every aspect of him so that we can destroy the works of the enemy, just as Jesus was doing. And that's why he's come. And that's why I want to give space now for us to worship and for us to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. I'm not going to talk about feelings. I'm not talking about manifestations. It's a faith. There's a faith dimension needed to release the kingdom of God. But John, would you mind just coming up and band? But I'd like us to focus on the Lord. And we've got some time ahead of us now. The children will come back 45 minutes after they left. A little sign up there to ask us to go and collect them. But I'm wanting you to be hungry. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how's things at LifeSpring? I said, things are good at LifeSpring. There's a hunger. There's a hunger in the people of God. And I don't want you to think, well, I've got all that I need, if you haven't got all that you need. Because when we've got all that we'll need, we'll be seeing the kingdom of God breaking through in our lives. We'll be seeing more of that power of God in our lives, won't we? That's what we've been given the Spirit of God for, to be witnesses, to bring in that kingdom, to show what Jesus is like. And so we're going to worship now, and as we're worshiping, I wouldn't at all be surprised if some of you might find some sickness disappears, some pain goes. If that happens, come and tell us. It glorifies Jesus. It doesn't glorify John. It doesn't glorify us here. It glorifies Jesus. If you find that there's a healing taking place as we worship, don't focus on the healing. Focus on the Lord. Come and tell us. But before we go, I want to give opportunity for prayer. And I want to pray for anybody that feels there's a lack in this area of the Holy Spirit. In this area of the dynamic, that dynamite of power being released among us. Because we need to be hungry for his power and not be satisfied with an experience or no experience. Amen? Amen? So we're going to pray, but I want us to really worship and focus on the Lord first. And if people have got prophetic words, if people have got anything they feel they'd like to share as we're doing this, then that's great. You bring that up too. But, to be honest, it's only a church full of the Holy Spirit and power which is going to be effective in 21st century United Kingdom. It's only that type of church which will impact the culture in which we are. It took the Holy Spirit and power in the first century. It'll take the Holy Spirit and power in the 21st century. But I believe that's what God wants to do. I believe he wants to bring healing and deliverance here so that we can take that out onto the streets and offer people prayer, expecting to see the kingdom of God come, expecting to see lives change, expecting to see people healed. And so I'm praying, Lord, more of your anointing, more of your faith, more of your hunger in our hearts and in our lives, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord, John.
Let's stand.